Rents as a base year of 1967 today are at $249. In other words, $149 across the board in Oregon for rents. On the other hand, all items CPI base year 1967 at $100, 1984 is at $371. I think that is a simple statistic that shows that the market in fact has worked. Previous proponents have addressed all of the issues. My testimony is in writing for you. We have also put together a large, some of you have already seen it, notebook. It's about 3 inches thick that go and address each of the issues that the previous proponent speakers have addressed. Construction, the effects on lending, the effects on sales, the effects on the tenants themselves, and what truly occurs by bringing about rent control. It is our perception that the same kinds of thing occur as they relate to binding arbitration. For binding arbitration is no other than rent control or rent stabilization. In that, I think that obviously we support, how strongly support and urge your support of House Bill 2505. And because of binding arbitration in House Bill 2915, we urge your opposition to that bill. I have some amendments, friendly amendments to House Bill 2505. And Fred Neal of the League of Oregon Cities, I know, was in the room. Maybe Fred could join us.
Sure. Mr. Neal, good afternoon.
I have, and while I'm handing them out, if I can find them under all my papers here, why don't Fred, why don't you go ahead and discuss them?
Thank you, Chair Kopetsky, members of Subcommittee 2. I'm Fred Neal, Senior Staff Associate of the League of Oregon Cities. The amendments Mr. Irvin is proposing would establish a set of findings for the Legislative Assembly in order for you to declare that the imposition of rent control on housing in the state of Oregon is a matter of statewide concern. If you'll recall the difficulties we had with the legislation you passed last session was that you prohibited local regulation of rental matters without declaring certain aspects of rent control sufficient to truly make it a matter of statewide concern as a policy issue, and instead declared that there would be an interim study. And until such time as the state of Oregon could declare a policy statewide in regards to rent control, that cities and counties were prohibited from enacting such ordinances. We don't feel that that is an appropriate interpretation of home rule powers under the Constitution of this state. We have not necessarily viewed the legislation that passed and is effective until July 1 of this year as necessarily constitutional. No city in this state has been in a situation to challenge that, however.
We are under a call, and we'll have to temporarily recess. And we will be back probably about 15 or 20 minutes. And
we have about four or five other witnesses after this. Let me suggest this. I want people to really think hard about whether there is truly a need to add further testimony beyond this point. But we do have four or five other bills we have to take care of before 6. We will recess until immediately after the suspension of the call, not in session, the call.
Subcommittee will come to order. I'd like these three witnesses to finish their testimony combined in about 5 minutes worth, and then we have a gentleman that's been on here all afternoon on two other bills. We will switch to him for about a 10-minute hearing on those two bills. I think we can do them that quickly, and then we'll come back to 2505, 2915, finish the testimony. Thank you for your patience.
May I ask a question? Why do we have to go away from 2505? We've only got about 6 more witnesses,
That's right.
Including these guys, and they Why can't we get that done so we can let our old people go home?
Well, I'm trying to do this as equitably as possible. We have over 300 bills in the House Judiciary Committee, and these are but two bills, very important bills to the committee, and we are trying to work in this. The full committee, this committee, has another hearing on juvenile detention matters that begins at 7 o'clock in the Portland City Hall in Portland, Oregon. So that's our problem, I recognize, and we have to move these bills along. We are trying to finish the legislature in the first part of June, and that's the constraint we're operating under as well.
Mr. Chair, again, Fred Neal of the League of Oregon Cities. In closing, with adoption of these amendments, the League of Oregon Cities will support this bill.
Thank you.
Closing for the Home Builders Association, I won't go through the bill because the bill is existing law. As you know, it had a sunset that sunsets July 1 of 1985. It does address the issues of housing authorities, condominium conversions, and emergency and housing stock. The proponents of the bills, my testimony also is for the Oregon League of Savings Institution and the Oregon Bankers Association, also speaking on behalf of the Oregon Association of Realtors, and again, the Oregon State Home Builders Association. In summation, I think that not to be glib, but to be serious, that John Pappas of the Wharton School, a dean of the economic community, truly looks at rent controls, binding arbitration, and or rent stabilization as a cruel hoax on the very people they are designed to help.
Mr. Chairman and members, I'm Phil Peach with the Oregon Mobile Park Association. We have a statement in opposition to House Bill 2915, which I think was amply covered by our state president earlier in his testimony to the other park owners. I'd simply like to submit that for the record. You also have in front of you a survey which was distributed just before the call of the House entitled Oregon Mobile Home Park Association Statewide Survey of Rent Increases. And this is information that I'd like you to take into consideration when considering House Bill 2505. We've heard a lot of comments from tenants on excessive rent increases and at the same time from owners saying that they have not been excessive. We thought we should do a survey statewide of all mobile home parks, not just members of our association, but every park in the state was contacted and was urged to participate in this survey. The results were pretty good. We have, to date, 161 parks that have responded. The information provided in the survey is their last three rent increases and the date they went into effect, the amount, what their current rent is, and what factors led to that increase. I think overall the information is very impressive. It points out to us that rent increases have been reasonable and justified. If you look at the results, just a brief tabulation, increases of $5 or less make up about 57 of those surveyed, or just over a third. The biggest grouping is increases of $6 to $10. So that's just under a half, or 76 of the parks. And then increase of $11 to $15 is a smaller segment, where roughly 12% of them fit into that category. And then there are three parks in the survey where increases were more than $15. We think this is a fairly representative sample statewide. An interesting trend I think you should notice in the survey is that the bigger the increase, the farther apart the frequency of those increases tend to be. For example, park number 19 on page 1, you see a $15 increase. That was the first increase in 4 years. So you see the frequency is somewhat farther apart on the higher increases. On the extreme side, you see maybe one that appears exorbitant, park number 106, over on page 5, a $40 increase. And then you look at that and wonder if that's out of line until you notice and check into the circumstances that the rent was $60 from 1979 until late last year when a disabled owner passed away. The park went into an estate. The estate raised the rent on an emergency basis $25, and then shortly after the first of the year, when they finally found a purchaser, the rent was raised $40 and is still not quite breaking even. So I think that in summation, I just want to point out that the rent increases, from the information we have in this survey that we believe to be representative, point out that they have been reasonable and justified. To conclude, let us just remind you that House Bill 2505 is not a new policy. It continues an existing law that has worked well for 2 years. There have been no challenges that we're aware of from any local governments, no constitutional problems, anything of that sort, no increase in landlord-tenant disputes. So we feel it's worked well, and this would simply continue it to declare it a statewide issue and would allow the legislature, if it deems appropriate, to enact rent control on a statewide basis. Thank you. We urge your support.
Thank you very much for your testimony and the documents and surveys that you have provided to the committee. I want to temporarily close the hearing on 2505 and 2915 and open the hearings on 2361. And Mr. Grant,
yes.
Thank you very much for bearing with us this afternoon.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity. I have a partner who's going to be very unhappy because I have his car here and needs a way to get home. I'll try and be very brief. HB 2361, I believe, is a non-controversial bipartisan type of bill that is aimed at making land sale contracts more useful and allow their use more often in the state of Oregon. The courts and commentators have called for this kind of a bill for some time, and this bill has been reviewed by both consumer interests, lender interests, seller interests, the realtors, and I don't believe that there's any opposition to this bill. At the present time, I think all those groups have supported this bill. The changes have been worked out among the various parties of interest and submitted to you previously. I believe I wanted to be sure that you have the letter of April 29th from Paul Cosgrove with the latest changes.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that date again?
Yes, it's an April 29th letter from Paul Cosgrove. If you don't have that letter, I'll be sure that you receive it. It was just he talked to me Monday and said that he was having it hand-delivered to you in time for this hearing. At any rate, that bill, or that letter, provides amendments that have been worked out and agreed to by all the parties involved in the bill. And it essentially reverses the result in the Brewer case. The proper name of that case is Brewer versus Iota Delta Chapter 298, Oregon 383. It's a 1984 decision, which basically it held that a voluntary termination of the vendee's interest by the vendee and the vendor would extinguish any junior interest, such as liens, trust deeds or whatever, assignments of the vendee's interest. The real estate bar and all other parties interested in this bill seem to be unanimously in agreement that as a practical matter, that case needs to be reversed or land sale contracts will not be useful in Oregon in the future and would leave a gigantic time bomb of problems out there that would have to be resolved by litigation. That's all that I have on HB 2361.
Okay. If you could bear with me for one second. Okay.
Well, I'm sorry. Let me back up. There is one additional change, if you just make a note of this. On page 2, line 21, after the word installments and before the period, there needs to be inserted not including interest. That was inadvertently omitted from Paul Cosgrove's letter.
Okay. Line 21, page 2, after the word...
Installments.
Insert, not including interest.
Interest, right.
Okay. Other questions? Are there any other witnesses... Ms. Burns.
Keith Burns, representing the Oregon Financial Services Association. I just want to clarify something. The letter was not delivered to the committee. The amendments that were an enclosure to the letter were delivered to legal counsel. The letter was a letter to myself and another person down here and didn't assist in any way.
Okay, and those are the amendments to House Bill 2361, and we have Keith Burns 430 in the corner. Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good.
Okay, we'll close the hearing then on 2361, and you're here also on 2649?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
And on HB 2649, this is a similar bill, only it's dealing with the trust deed law, and it makes various housekeeping changes. There have been changes submitted. There was a letter to Leslie Hammond with amendments, and then a subsequent revision that I supplied to Mr. Barilla and Berea, and I believe you now have all the changes that have been worked out again by all the various parties interested in the bill. If there's any doubt as to that, I can leave the latest form of the bill here with you today just to be sure, so you can double check that to make sure we have the most up-to-date complete version of all the changes. I don't believe there's any opposition to it. The intent of the bill is merely to carry on and clean up some of the changes that were initiated in the last legislative session, and to make some further changes that need to be made. And the most significant change is regarding the omission of junior interests in a foreclosure by advertisement and sale, which was the result of a local court decision in Portland that I won't go into the intricacies of the case, but it was a very unsatisfactory result, and the bill now incorporates provisions that specifically explain what is the result when the junior creditor is omitted in the foreclosure process.
Is that Section 5?
I believe it's 7 and 8. Let's see here. Yes, it's Section 7 and Section 8 of the most recent version. Now, the one that you have, the printed bill, I don't believe has any of these provisions in it
yet.
Okay.
Are there questions?
Okay. Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bellamy.
These amendments are not prepared by 2649, are we?
Right. I'm sorry, your question again is?
Who prepared these amendments?
Those are Oregon State Bar's real estate real estate sections amendments. And what they really do is they gut the original bill and restate what they want.
We did it like an engrossed bill is how we did it. And that was the form. It's a long story as to why it ended up coming in that form. But in the circumstances, that was the best that we could get down to you in time for this hearing. If I could just back up on HB 2530.
Representative Bellamy, did you have a further question?
The only thing I say is that when when you tell us there's no opposition to that and then you bring us a completely new bill, I just have to tell you that it takes me a long time to get this stuff back to the people in my district, and I just want to impress upon you that there's no opposition, trust me, comment can only go so far when you're talking about dealing with foreclosure of a person's property.
I understand. There was no opposition of any kind at the first hearing, and the kind of changes that are being made are quite narrow, and I don't believe would be of any real interest other than to attorneys foreclosing trust deeds. It's a technical amendments type bill, and we've circulated it very broadly among the real estate attorneys and the debtor creditor attorneys that are doing this kind of work, as well as the we have ran all of these changes by the legal aid people to make sure we're not stepping on any of their toes, and so I think it has received broad exposure. In fact, the final changes were a compromise between Michael Marcus and a representative of our committee. I don't think we're doing anything substantively that is going to upset anyone.
Any further questions?
Now, was there one other point?
Yes, just one other point on HB 2534. I wanted to just be sure that you have the Legislative Council changes of 31585 on that. That's the adverse possession bill.
Okay. Now, wait a minute. Are we finished then with 2649?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Any other witnesses on 2649? Okay, let's move to 2534. And if you'll give us a second, we have lots of paper. Now, we have a Legislative Council Amendment -1 dated 3/15/85.
Yes, great. I just wanted to be sure that you had that, and there is one change that was omitted from that inadvertently. On the second page of the bill, I got up here without the bill, but on the second page, about the somewhere between the fourth and the sixth line, there's a second reference to legal owner, and the word legal should be deleted. It's on the original printed bill.
Page two.
Yeah, right at the top. It's just the fourth, somewhere around the fourth to the sixth line down. There's a second reference to legal owner.
Line four, delete legal?
Yes.
Okay, Council, do you have that as well?
No, I don't.
I've got it.
Okay.
Now,
thanks.
Did you have other comments?
No, that's all. Thank you very much.
Are there questions? Okay, thank you very much. Again, I hope your partner makes it home. And I hope you do, too, safely.
Okay.
We will close the hearing then on these bills, and we'll return to our hearing on House Bills 505 and 2915. Braden. And while he's coming forward, I should note for the record that Mr. Dave Barrows of Oregon League of Financial Institutions is not going to testify in the interest of time, but to indicate that they do support House Bill 2505 and oppose House Bill 2915. Good afternoon, Mr. Braden.
Good evening, sir. Or good afternoon,
good
sir.
Good evening.
My name is Robert Braden. I'm speaking as a retired person on a fixed income, a mobile homeowner in a court, and I'm speaking in opposition to Bill 2505. If I can make reference to some comments from one or two of my predecessors up here at the microphone, one individual who was speaking for 2505 mentioned that he is self-made. He started out with one house, fixed it up, painted it up, sold it, bought a duplex, fixed it up and painted it up again, then bought himself a mobile home court, and anyone with a little initiative can do the same thing. I'd like to mention that he possibly forgot about the, or is not aware of the large percentage of people who are living in mobile homes, who are retired and who have passed their working life. They aren't able to do this. They had initiative, but they're not able to do this anymore. One other person made comments about the going rates for mobile home rent, mobile home lot rents, being 80 or 85 a month. This lady down in Medford area, I believe it was. I wish I had the opportunity to live in a court like that, because our rent started at 185 a month. They have increased once by $15 or $10 a month. Some of those, my neighbors, have already had the second increase at $15 a month, which makes $25 a month in 2 years. At that rate, it won't take too long for persons on a fixed income to be priced right out of their homes. I just want to ask the committee one question, and then I won't take up any more of your time. We've been doing too much of that already. I just want to know, can this committee, in good conscience, support a bill that would deny fair and equitable treatment for those on fixed and low and or low income who are being priced right out of their own homes by indiscriminate and arbitrary rental increases? Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Is Mr. Hales here?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the subcommittee. For the record, I'm Charlie Hales with the Home Builders Association of Metropolitan Portland. Mr. Irvin has stated our organization's position, so my testimony would be brief. Prior to working for the Home Builders, I worked for the Mobile Home Park Association for 5 years and saw some of these issues over and over during that time. I also had the chance to look down the gun barrel at rent control measures in Jackson County and on the ballot in Lane County and the city of Springfield. And I think we sometimes forget after a couple of years how close we came in November of 1982 to having rent control underway in Oregon, which is what the need was for this legislation in the first place and why it's now being brought to you for making permanent. House Bill 2505 is just that. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to preserve Oregon from that kind of a threat, and it's an opportunity to benefit from other states' bad experiences with rent control. We provided you with this enormous book not simply to wow you with our ability to make photocopies, but to show you the depth of data that's now available from other states. The major issues that are addressed in this book, what rent control does to maintenance and abandonment, are now well documented. Maintenance stops and abandonment begins. What it does to new construction is well documented. The comparison of Oregon to Washington, D.C. over the last few years in here is an excellent demonstrator of what happens to construction of rental housing under rent control. It stops. There's no longer any question about it. What happens to tax shifts, the movement of the tax burden from rental housing to single-family housing as that rental housing deteriorates under rent control, that is now well documented as well. And the cost of administration, finally, is also very, very clear from other cities' examples. One of the worst, of course, is Santa Monica, where they enacted rent control in 1979, and where the cost of administration went from an assessment of $12.50 a unit in 1980 to $72 a unit last year. In 1982. And in 1983, the Court of Appeals in California ruled that those costs of administration may be passed on directly to tenants. So tenants in Santa Monica, in addition to the other costs of rent control, are paying $72 a year per unit to have it enforced. That works out to a budget of $2.3 million and 60 employees to enforce rent control in a city the size of Eugene. That is an inefficient way to regulate the housing market. And I think what's also documented well for you is the loss of local control in other jurisdictions. That failure to pass House Bill 2505 would engender. How could Tualatin resist rent control if Tigard had it? And I think equally important is the fact that seven other states have now done what is asked of you in House Bill 2505, and that is have enacted permanent prohibitions against local rent control in the issue in the interest of statewide concern. Finally, I think the problems of mobile home park tenants remain, and the kind of exercise that you've had to go through this afternoon is only going to be repeated unless we do something about the time bomb of mobile home parks sitting on conditional uses in industrial zones throughout the state. We sort of blundered into this situation through a series of historical accidents wherein local governments in the post-war decades took land that was one day going to be industrial and said, okay, let's put a trailer park there for a few years. That looks like a pretty good temporary use. And trailers were in those days a pretty good temporary form of housing that still had their wheels and axles and trailer tongues on them. Trouble is, those units evolved into permanent housing and became an attractive lifestyle for many of the people that have testified for you today. And they are less mobile than they once were. But the time bomb is there. There are a lot of there are a lot of terrace heights out there waiting for us unless we find a way to produce replacement stock in mobile home spaces for those displaced residents, and there's very little that we can do to stop that displacement, I believe. But stopping House Bill 2505 is not the solution. Allowing rent control to get started in Oregon is only going to exacerbate the problems that 2915 addresses. Those problems need to be addressed in this session and in the future. But what we need to do is remove the threat of rent control in order to have a better and more creative approach to those problems. Be happy to answer any questions.
Since our time is short, I'm not going to ask the members if they have any questions. Okay, but thank you very much
thank
for
you.
Spending the afternoon with us and providing testimony. Is it Wagner? Is Mr. Wagner, Buzz Wagner, here?
Yes, sir.
Ah, okay. Great.
Mr. Chairperson and representatives, I'm Buzz Wagner from Shadowbrook Mobile Home Court, 13640 Southeast Highway 212, space 144, Clackamas, Oregon, 97015. And I'm kind of amused at some of the statements these people make, you know. I think once they get a little older and they make up statements they're using for their arbitration and things that they do